Hello, welcome to My Camino, the podcast. Can I just take a moment to thank you for listening? The download figures are through the roof, and I'm amazed every week to see people listening from all four corners of the earth. And I just wanted to begin this week by saying thank you. This is a podcast about the Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James, and the pilgrimage is famous for offering an opportunity for transformation. Moreover, people from all over the world gather to walk the path in the footsteps of Christ's apostle St. James. You'll find yourself breaking bread with Scots, Welsh, Koreans, South Africans, Spaniards, Australians, Canadians, and American pilgrims. It's the most wonderful potpourri of people from all over the world enjoying the simplicity of only having one thing to worry about, and that is putting one foot in front of the other, being a pilgrim. Abraham Joshua Heschel was a Polish-born American rabbi and one of the leading Jewish theologians and Jewish philosophers of the 20th century. He said, "Faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart." It's the perfect quote to feature in this week's introduction. Faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart. My guest this week is the American pilgrim Jason Searle, and Jason wrote to me a while back to say he's involved in a pilgrimage in the US honouring the life and work of Father Emil J. Capon. Father Capon was a Catholic priest and US Army captain who served as a US chaplain during World War II and the Korean War. In 1993, he was declared by then Pope John Paul II to be what's called a servant of God, the first step on the road to canonization or sainthood. And he was awarded the U.S. Medal of Honor in 2013, the United States' highest honor for valor. I was fascinated when Jason wrote to me about Father Capon earlier this year. I'm delighted to say Jason is on the line. Welcome, Pilgrim.
Hey, thanks, Dan. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about, and we'll get to the Camino in a little while. And I urge my listeners to stay in tune because we have an incredible story for you this week. But Father Emil Capon is an amazing story too. Tell us how he and his life became part of your life, Jason.
Great. So I transplanted to Kansas, and Dan, I'll give a little shout out to you. Your album's fantastic, and you mentioned the Yellow Brick Road in one of your new songs on Duende, and that's where we are. It's the Yellow Brick Road. Well, a lot of your listeners who are from around the world might have heard of Kansas from The Wizard of Oz, and the Yellow Brick Road certainly is part of that. So I moved there from near the Chicago area about 25 years ago. And Father Capon was, as you said, his accomplishments. He was a simple parish priest in the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas. And born in 1916, he ended up becoming a priest in the Diocese of Wichita. He's from a Bohemian town 65 miles north of Wichita called Pilsen. Took the name from the Czech Republic town of Pilsen, where his family was from that area. And Father Capon, as he progressed through his priesthood, always had an affinity for the military men and women who served our country, and during World War II petitioned to be a chaplain, which he was able to do. Our bishop released him to the military diaconate, or military, and he became a chaplain and served in Burma. He then, after hostility ceased in the Second World War, he came back to Kansas, and he finished some more studies at Catholic University, and then as the Korean conflict broke out, once again went to the Army chaplaincy and shipped off to Korea, where he was with the 8th Regiment, 1st Cavalry Division, and was captured at the Battle of Dunsan up near the North Korean and Chinese border, then Korea and Chinese China border. And at that battle, he was ordered to go back and go back through American lines and go to safety. And he decided it was more important to accompany his men and stay with them in that battle. And his heroism on the battlefield and subsequent capture with the number of soldiers from his regiment resulted in a very long hike up to the North Korean and Chinese border to a prisoner of war camp called Pyoktong, North Korea.
Oh, yeah.
And in that camp, he died several months later after all kinds of heroic efforts to really help his men and inspire them to continue on. So his name was quite well known in our diocese, and they subsequently named a high school that was later merged. It was called Chaplain Capon High School. It was all boys Catholic school here in the diocese that I now live in. And it merged with Mount Carmel Academy, a girls Catholic school, and now it's called Capon Mount Carmel Catholic High School. And my five kids have all gone there, along with my wife, who I met up at Marquette University 25 years ago this year. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary. So feeling familiar with this story, our kids go to school, and just that's how I got involved in his cause for canonization and learned more about him.
And you walk a pilgrimage from Wichita in Kansas to his hometown of Pilsen in his name each year. And it is a real pilgrimage, isn't it?
It is. And it's got a lot of the Camino flavor, Dan, for all the listeners out there. We do it a little bit differently. It's a 4-day hike. So when you break out the Camino in the stages that we're all used to, especially the Francis, it's about the same length each day, about 15 miles. And we've done it for 11 years in a row. And we do it the first weekend of June every year. And the stories that we tell in a video series we just got done producing in this group called Capon's Men, we really tried to tell that story of how pilgrimage is a corollary to life from the lessons that we've learned over the years on the pilgrimage. And we walk with about 200 people. It is really anywhere from 150 to 250 people have joined us on any given year. And the hospitality that people have shown along the way from Wichita to his hometown of Pilsen in the heat of the summer, with giving us, water and shelter and all of that. It's just been a beautiful experience to come together and bring attention to him and to live more deeply and lean into his story and both the pilgrims feel the effects of a pilgrimage in terms of the sacrifice and pain and the difficulty. It's very much like the Camino in that regard. And having done both the Camino and the pilgrimage, I can attest that they're very similar.
Well, but why?
And it's beautiful scenery. Yeah. It's a lovely, the plains of Kansas, the breadbasket of the world. You're walking through the wheat fields, and it's very similar to the Meseta.
I just wonder why a pilgrimage to in respect of Father Capon. Why did you choose a pilgrimage to honor him?
Yeah, so we have a priest who organized it. His name's Father Eric Weldon, and he was a chaplain in the U.S. Army as well, as a Catholic priest that served as a chaplain. And he started it really to really honor Father Capon and to enhance his priesthood and just to there's a lot of corollaries there between what Father Capon and his men had to do. They had to walk from where they were captured in Unsan up to Pyoktong, and although a very different circumstance where a lot of those men didn't make it, they didn't survive that walk. It was a very hard pilgrimage, more of a death march than a joyous occasion for sure. But we do that just as a way to walk and honor his memory. And we've been very fortunate to have the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One from Fort Riley, Kansas. Soldiers and chaplains join us, as well as the head chaplain from West Point, our United States Military Academy here in the U.S. that we're really proud of. Father Matt Palakowski, who's the head chaplain from there, has joined us. So it's just a real way for us to connect with the struggle that those men felt, and to honor him and the men that served with him and that he ministered to up until his death. And maybe by us intentionally walking and feeling some of that that pain and offering some of those sufferings up, it just helps us to connect to what's more important and what's really important in our own lives.
Forgive the rather disrespectful way I'm going to ask this question, Jason, but doesn't a saint have to have a miracle attributed to them?
Yeah, so you said, Dan, he's been declared a servant of God, and in 2015 our diocese presented to Rome, to the Vatican,
yeah.
And we presented the Positio, which it was more than 1,000 pages chronicling Father Capon's life, all of his history, all of the stuff we've discussed thus far. And it's also contains in it several miracles that have been attributed to Father Capon, and we've been very fortunate to have several of those miracle kids. They're now young adults and adults that have survived or recovered from very serious life-threatening either illnesses or accidents that we've had doctors testify, and all of this testimony is part of the Positio, the official documents that are in front of the congregation of the Doctrine of Saints, and it's being reviewed by the Vatican. The first test is the historical accuracy of the Positio, and it passed that in as quick of a fashion as it can, and the postulator for the cause has continued to say that our job is just to continue to tell his story. Those miracles will be reviewed, but we have friends of mine and friends of everybody on this pilgrimage who walk that pilgrimage each year with us, that they're Father Capon's miracles, and I'm just honored and privileged to know them.
Yeah, it's a great story, and I urge my listeners to Google. I mean, it sounds so pathetic, doesn't it? Just Google him after the extraordinary life he led, and the extraordinary influence he continues to have. But it's a terrific story, and I'm just delighted to have learned about him through you and through our association and by doing the research for the interview. But let me ask you, can tell the story. Why or for what particular action did he receive the Medal of Honor? This is a great story.
Yeah, so he effected, under heavy fire, he effected the surrender before his unit was annihilated. They would have all been killed on the battlefield, and he negotiated a ceasefire, and that saved the lives of all of the men that consequently ended up having to go to Phiak Tong. In that prisoner of war camp, a lot of men didn't make it out of there, but it was Father Capon who, during his whole time in that prisoner of war camp, in spite of his worsening illness that he suffered along with all the troops that were there, malnutrition, dysentery, and being overrun with lice and just horrific conditions, he would run around. He would steal food from the Chinese and North Korean captors and pass that food out. And we were very fortunate, Dan, to, in our very first video series that we built as an organization that I'm the chairman of, called Capon's Men.
Yeah.
We call it the Virtue Series, and we were very fortunate to go around and interview several of the POWs who were with Father Capon in that POW camp, and all of them attest to what a saint he was and how he was just, he lived a life that was bold and that was he was not afraid, and he just brought strength in the worst conditions any of us could possibly ever fathom. The stories these guys regale in our video series will bring you to tears there. And Father Capon just stood up to the guard. And one story in particular was a soldier named Herb Miller, who lives up near Syracuse, New York, still alive today. His leg was shattered, and a North Korean came up and pointed his rifle straight at Herb's forehead. And Father Capon marched across the road and batted that rifle away. And the North Korean didn't know really how to take that from this man of just tremendous strength. Catholic priest who just refused to let that action happen, and Herb attributes his life being saved to Father Capon. And Father Capon, that 60-mile walk up to Pyeongtaek, the people who couldn't be weren't strong enough to make that walk, oftentimes were taken to the side of the road and shot. And we have that testimony from all of these soldiers. The weak ones just fell out, and Father Capon carried her long way on that walk, as well as several other soldiers, and rallied the more healthy soldiers to help those who were less healthy to make it. And he did that all throughout his time in the prisoner of war camp until he succumbed to severe malnutrition and dysentery that eventually took his life up there in 1951 at the age of 35 years old.
35 years old. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I lived a tremendous life at a very young age, but you have to remember those guys that he was serving with. A lot of them were 18, 19 years old. All the kids. Stature and wisdom to these guys. But at the end of the day, he was just like us. He was a human being and used his God-given talents and looked out for others more than themselves. And there's great lessons in that for all of us.
It's crazy to think you're 35 years old, conducting yourself in that fashion, in such a selfless, mm-hmm. selfless and generous and God-fearing, God-loving way. Indeed, Jason, Jesus and walking in Jesus' footsteps is a big part of your life. And so too is walking, as we've said, in the footsteps of Father Capon. Tell us about Capon's men. You mentioned it just a moment ago. Tell us about that.
Sure. It started in 2014 in a small town in our diocese, Pittsburgh, Kansas, and wonderful men over there that were full of faith and looking to live out Father Capon's example. And I had at that time recently retired at a pretty young age after having had a successful run in a career. And was able to dedicate some time to this organization that I'm honored to be a part of and actually chair and help drive it forward. We started to build video series that were focused on men's faith formation, just how do we become better husbands, how do we become better brothers, fathers, colleagues, leaders in our jobs and our careers. And we thought, well, we can go out and look at the virtues of Father Capon espoused, love and mercy and how he lived. And we went out, as I said, and talked to the POWs and his faith and how do we replicate that in our daily lives? Because certainly our daily lives aren't nearly as complicated. They're complicated, they're cluttered, and they have a lot of mess in them. We all do. And if you listen to your podcast frequently, we hear that. We all have these struggles. But their struggles were a lot harder than ours, and they saw their way through it. So how do we emulate those virtues? And so we built that series, and it did very, very well, affected a lot of men. And it was just several of us with our own capital and our own volunteer resources that did that. And the De La Sega family, good friends of mine, spearheaded that. And then about a year later, we decided, well, we did pretty good on this video series. Let's do another one. And so we ended up doing another one, focusing on the way our diocese understands stewardship and that how do we live our lives as faithful stewards of talents and resources and gifts that God gives us and use those in service of God and neighbor. And focused on four pillars of stewardship, and those are hospitality and prayer and formation and service. And each video series that we did, Dan, they're about 8 episodes long. They're anywhere from the very first introduction video that I'd urge all your listeners to, you know, to Google up, yeah. Capon's Men, and you can watch The Life of Father Capon for free on our website. It's a 35-minute story that tells what we've talked about here. But each of the subsequent videos are about 15 minutes in length, and we have really a story that we try and tell and in that 15 minutes. And then we have a workbook that small groups of men at the parish level, or 2 or 3 or 4 guys that get together, can watch this stuff. And then the workbook has questions with what you just saw. And the idea is, just like Father Capon on the front lines of the battlefield, went from foxhole to foxhole to foxhole of his men and encouraged them. And then in the prisoner of war camp, from hut to hut to hut, to help them. How do we emulate that in our daily lives by just doing life together, accompanying one another, and truly sharing our wins and our losses, our struggles and our victories. And that's really the dialogue that we wanted to start. And so the stewardship series happened, and then we built a third one called the Beatitudes 2 years ago. And we actually have an audio recording. The only audio recording of Father Capon ever was his address of the Beatitudes. And he did a homily on it. And we start our video series with that homily. And then each of the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, we tell a story that is one of those Beatitudes, again, about 15 minutes apiece with a workbook and dialogue, and helping the men just to each week gather around and meet and go deeper into their faith and their life's journey with one another. And it's just been terrific. So we've been at this for 5-6 years now. And this past summer, Dan, when I got in touch with you, we had this idea around this Father Capon pilgrimage to tell the story of how pilgrimage is a corollary for life. And it was certainly influenced by the walk. But my experience on the Camino in 2016 that I did with my then senior in high school at Cape of Mount Carmel, my son's name is Matthew Ignatius, and we did the entire Camino together. We knocked it out in 24 days from St. John all the way to Santiago, and we did it a lot faster than most of the listeners. We weren't racing, but certainly Matt and I, Matt wasn't slowing down for some of the Spanish wine and some of that culture stuff. So we kind of kept on trucking. We didn't spend as much time at Arache as a lot of folks might have. Or my wife and I, who had just done the Camino a couple weeks ago, some of our plans were to do some of that, but they got interrupted. But the Camino was a huge piece of my life. And I actually was a former Jesuit before I got married. I was in Jesuit formation as a novice Jesuit coming out of Marquette University. And St. Ignatius of Loyola, he was wounded in Pamplona, Spain, and a big stop on the Camino. And I named my middle son Matthew Ignatius after St. Ignatius. And his birthday actually is on May 18th, and that was the day that the Siege of Pamplona started back in the 1500s when Ignatius was wounded. And prior to that point, St. Ignatius was a soldier and didn't even think about, this life that he would eventually lead and just, found the Jesuits and all of the spirituality and everything. So Pamplona is a huge piece of my life as well. And just a lot of stuff tied together. And we said, there's got to be a film in here. There's got to be a faith series in here. So we tackled pilgrimage, and over eight weeks, we break out different stories that talk about the different elements of all of our pilgrimages in life on the Camino de Santiago, as well as the Father Capon walk, and what are those elements each week that focus on one specific thing to go a little bit deeper into what makes up a pilgrim's disposition.
Yeah, and you can find those videos at capensmen.com. That's K-A-P-A-U-N-S-M-E-N, capensmen.com. Let's go to the Camino, Jason. Do you remember where you first heard about it?
Yeah, so I was a cradle Catholic band, and my kids actually learned about it all through grade school. And then I also help one of the ministries that I'm involved in. I help teach confirmation to kids. And we talk about that one of the series that we use is references the Camino, and friends talked about the Camino, and certainly the movie The Way. It's out there, and so I was aware of it. And when I made the decision to slow down a little bit back in 2014 from a career and be more intentional and be more involved in the time that I still had left with my five kids, one of the pieces was, hey, we got to go do this Camino. And my son Matthew Ignatius raised his hand and said, let's go. And so off we went, and just was a fantastic experience. Was one of the best things I've ever done.
You just not long returned home from a Camino, as you said, walking with your wife, but something happened that changed your life forever. Yeah.
It did, Dan. You're a veteran to Caminos yourself, and I think we all kind of, those of us who have experienced the Camino, there's all these different graces, there's all these different experiences, there's all these different moments that change all of our lives. And certainly walking that in 2016, there's story after story of just beautiful moments and hard struggles, and especially doing it with my son, watching him become a man and watching how strong he was and how strong we were together. You carry all that back, and the Camino never leaves you. We actually open our pilgrimage series with a statement that life is a pilgrimage, but sometimes you need a pilgrimage to discover life. And that's the first words in our series. And so as you go back a second time, I think all of us who have done it more than once, we want to replicate that in some fashion, but we're all in tune enough to know that you just kind of got to surrender and let the Camino come to you. You can't force things to happen. You can't make experiences that you had a couple of years prior. You can't replicate those maybe, but I certainly, it's our 25th anniversary with my wife, and our five kids are healthy and strong. We had just gone through some tremendous loss with two of our very best friends in Wichita. Have passed away. They're our age, 49 years old, 50 years old, a husband and wife that are just dear, dear friends of ours and live five doors down from us. One didn't wake up at 49 years old, my friend John. And then at the time that John passed away in 2017, his wife was struggling. Kristen was struggling with stage four colon cancer, and she succumbed to that finally here this summer in 2019. And my wife and I, as part of our Camino, we were wanting to go out there and really not put it behind us, but put it in perspective. Very thankful that we got to walk that journey with Kristen over the last couple of years, side by side, and along with others that helped her and were able to be a part of the kids' lives. So they had three kids that are our kids' age and grew up together, same schools and everything. And we were out there, Dan, walking that, and certainly got to cruise the Faro and wanted to, I left a golf ball behind at Cruz de Faro. John and I played a tremendous amount of golf together. I left his college football numbered golf ball up there at Cruz de Faro in October as I walk this with my wife and watch my wife become this pilgrim as we left Fontainebleau, that last push up. You'll all remember that you walk up that last hill there, and it's a tough little hike, and it was raining really hard as we left the place where we were grabbing a quick snack before we put our rain gear on and went out there and asked my wife, I said, do you want to keep moving? And she said, it's going to rain all day, honey. Let's just keep going. And I looked at her and I had one of those moments that I remembered with my son from 2016, like you've got it. You are a pilgrim now. We just keep going. We had those moments, Dan, and we're feeling on top of the world and sad that, we left John behind, but certainly honored that we have him as a part of our life and Kristen as a part of our life and how they helped to form us. And so we're very thankful of these gifts. And a couple days after that, I'm very spend a lot of time each day reflecting and in prayer. And my son had just landed a great internship that we found out about. Matthew and my older son Jason's doing super well, finishing up a chemical engineering degree, and my third son Thomas is at Notre Dame, actually in seminary studying, and our twin daughters Gabby and Sabrina. They walk the pilgrimage each year. Just very thankful for all these great things in our lives and how they've coalesced in spite of the hardship. And was very attentive of that. And that last the last day, it turns out, of our Camino, Dan, we're leaving Villafranca to Brescia, and you're walking that day, and you're going to climb to Osobrero, right? And I get to right outside Las Arias, and my phone rings, and it's my little sister. And I get a phone call that my 75-year-old father, her father, he took his own life. And he was struggling with a disease that is akin to it's akin to Alzheimer's. It's called Pick's disease. And his speech had deteriorated to the point where he lost the ability to communicate over the last year and a half to 2 years, and started to have some cognition issues. And we think, as best as we can tell, that Dad just didn't see a path forward any longer. And out there on the pilgrimage celebrating our 25th anniversary and just the time of our life and the struggles and, all the things that come with the Camino and some of the graces and beautiful moments and all of that. And then all of a sudden, wow, this hits me. And I couldn't speak. I was just in shock and just, what do you do? And do you finish your walk? Do you immediately go home? And you're just trying to process all of this. And we decided that we needed to get home regardless. We knew my father undoubtedly, no questions, would want us to finish our walk. He absolutely would be furious if he knew that we dropped what we were doing to come home and change all of the things that we needed to do to change it, take the taxi to over Osobrero to Saria to catch a train to, fly back to the U.S. and then fly down to Florida where my sisters were and he was. But we did it and we needed to, because regardless of what Dad would have wanted, we have kids and they needed us, and they needed us to help them process this tremendous loss that we all felt. As tough an ending to Camino as I can think, and certainly not what we were expecting. But Dan, I'll tell you, it was, I quickly figured out that it's time to live out what we had just built in our pilgrimage series that I talked about earlier, that, and I think you opened with it. You have to put one foot in front of the other. And so that was the only choice that we had. Just like on the Camino, you just got to keep pressing forward. And boy, we built this video series about how that ties into life, and there's no other option but to put one foot in front of the other. And, kind of figured out in the subsequent weeks that, you know, there's no such thing as closure. There's
no.
Things only get calloused, and just like our feet, wow. You know, they just get tougher. And that's not to say you suppress anything, but, you know, you just, things get calloused and you get a little bit stronger each day.
Yeah. I think all of you and all my listeners would know that I lost a younger brother just a couple of weeks ago. And I picked up the phone to call him yesterday. And then I put the phone down on the bench. And I thought,
yeah.
Oh, I love what you just said then, that you're not interested in closure. I don't want closure either. I don't want closure. But
no interest in it.
No. but being a little calloused is not a bad way to look at it either. As a musician, my fingers get calloused. And I know when my fingers are calloused, I'm well rehearsed. I know when my fingers are calloused, I've been playing a lot of guitar and I'm in good form. So that's a nice way to look at it. That's a really nice way to look at it, get calloused. You know, Jason, they say dementia, Alzheimer's, including Pick's disease, is like someone slowly drifting away from you in a boat, if you like, and you're powerless to do anything about it. Did you get that sense? Did you get the sense that your father was kind of like drifting away from you?
Yeah, absolutely. He was super involved, especially in my sister's lives and two brothers, and a great dad, yeah. Very active, very healthy. But over the last couple of years just became, you know, as he was unable to articulate things and communicate things. But it was very important for us. And I'll tell you, Dan, just like the decision I made several years ago to slow down and be more intentional with my kids, I'm very fortunate that I had a lot of kids, and they've been a priority, right? Your family is your priority. And I probably wasn't as close to my father as my sisters and my brother was because of distance and geography, and just because they hadn't had kids, and they had a different relationship with dad, being in the same town and being very involved in each other's lives. But I was able to, as he started to drift and didn't have a sure footing, I was very fortunate to get to spend a lot of time with him and made several trips over the last several years to be with him and be with my sisters and, you know, to use a Camino analogy, to get to walk with him through that. So I'm very thankful in retrospect that I had the time, I had the resources and the opportunity. And, you know, we only get one crack at this beautiful gift of life. And I think that's what the Camino teaches all of us, that if we, all the things we think are important, and we go through this in our video series, that what do you really need, and what's really most important? And it's our relationship with God, our relationship with others. It's love. And I was able to experience that with my dad in a real profound way over the last couple of years, that maybe gave me a glimpse of what my sisters, the closest that they had with my dad, and to be there for them and to help them grieve work through this over the last several weeks has been a really nice gift as well.
You know, in your original email to me, Jason, you talked about the blessings and the pain and the joys of the Camino, and you said it's calling you back. Do you hope to get lost when you go back?
Yeah, I do. And I'm going back. So Dan, we're talking right now, part of our plan, in our 25th anniversary year, the church recognizes three pilgrimages. One is the Camino de Santiago, the other is to the Holy Land, and the third is to Rome. And my wife and I are, we're in Siena outside of Rome, but we spent the last couple of days in Rome, and we got to be at the papal audience, and a member of our group has a 3-month-old baby, and Pope Francis kissed the baby right in front of us.
Really? Just this week?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So we've made this pilgrimage to Rome, and we're at all these beautiful sites, the four major basilicas, and we had mass with our bishop at the tomb of St. Peter's down in the crypt, and then at the tomb of St. Paul the Apostle, and then got to go to St. John Lateran and St. Mary Major. And today we're in Siena visiting, you know, St. Catherine of Siena, and got to see John the Baptist's right arm, just all these beautiful things in our history. And that's what the Camino is, right? It's 1,100, 1,200 years of all of us, the faithful, and people who don't share in our faith either, Dan, that walk this beautiful 500 mile and sometimes longer. I walked in 2016 with some guys who had pushed off from Belgium, and we walked with them for several days. And just all of these people from all around the world that are sharing in these pilgrimages, because we're out searching for this connection. And that, again, not to gratuitously plug our series, but, I think a big piece of what we're trying to convey in that pilgrim's disposition, Dan, is we're all invited every day. The Lord calls us and he speaks to us. And do we just have the courage and the docility to just slow down and listen? And that's what the Camino teaches us. Just slow down. What do you really need? And our second video after we discussed this invitation concept is simplifying, and all of us pilgrims talk about, all the gear that we dispose of. And it's the same for life. We chase after all of these different things and try and get this bigger piece of pie and chase after all of this stuff. We're called to just be simple, and the most simple things bring us the most joy, and that's relationship. And that's what my dad taught me. I'd say the biggest piece that I'd convey to you guys as well, anybody that's listening, is there's several pieces. I talked about accompaniment and fortitude, just, going on. We got a lot of blister shots in our video series on fortitude, and we're all familiar with that on the Camino. But probably the most important video that we did relative to me right now is the one on receiving gifts. And I think as human beings, as Christians and Catholics, we are just hardwired to serve others. And we teach our kids to serve others. It's kind of what we do to be good. And I think we do that very, very well. People are very, very generous. But what the Camino taught me is to be a good pilgrim, you have to be a good receiver of gifts. And if you don't receive gifts from others, you deny them, the person who's trying to serve you, you deny them the opportunity to love you. It's just as important to be a humble person to say, I'll take your help, and to maybe tell a deeper story and share some vulnerability and allow that conversation to happen that really opens things up. And we focus really hard on this story about being a good recipient of gifts. And as that relates to my dad right now, that's the struggle, is that what dad did, my father ended up in his action. He took away the ability for his family, for us, those who love him, to love him in that way for the last, remaining years of his natural life. And, as we think about it, we're pretty certain that dad probably just felt, hey, I don't want to be a burden. We don't know exactly what was going on in his mind, because, again, he can't articulate those things. We just don't know. And that's that drifting away concept. But we were not able to continue to give him that gift. Yeah. So that receiving piece, I think, is a big piece to the Camino. We were taught, and we try to convey that in our video series. So it's really speaking to my heart right now.
Yeah. You said in that initial email that the Camino is a journey of faith, physicality, and joy. Do you pray while you walk, Jason?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think all of us, and I'm a faithful listener, Dan. I love what you do. I love how you connect everybody to the Camino in your podcast, your music, and your ministry that you've undertaken here. We all do that in different ways, and I think on our pilgrimage, whether it's in Kansas, walking across the wheat fields, or whether it's the Meseta or the Pyrenees, or any of these other pilgrimages that we hear about on your podcast, there's tremendous strength and there's a lot of joy in just offering up each step and knowing that for thousands, a thousand plus years before you, those pilgrims that were out there with their burdens and their wins and losses and their struggles that were walking on that same path, we're all privileged to walk and we all get called to walk. We feel that, and that's God's grace. If we just slow down and we listen, and I think, there's certainly, I say my rosary while I'm out there. I prayed the rosary, often with my wife, this last one, and my son 3 years ago. But I think more importantly than anything, is just being silent while I walk. And that's not to say I don't engage in conversations. I do all the time, but I like to just, God speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us through the beauty that's out there, and he speaks to us in the stillness and quiet. And we just have to slow down and just listen. And if we declutter, you'll hear him speaking to you. He'll speak to you in the people that you meet, in the people that you get a chance to serve, the people that serve you, the hospitaleros, just all the experiences that your listeners have had. Those are moments of grace. They're gifts from God. And that's his, one of his languages that I've been fortunate enough to understand.
In the course of researching this interview, I stumbled upon a photograph of Father Capon celebrating Mass on the Korean battlefield. And he's using the bonnet of a Jeep as his altar. It's a very, very powerful image. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, okay, that's the guy. And when you see that image, you kind of get this, even though you don't know his story, you know his is a very powerful story. And his is a very important story. And we could all learn a lot from him, even though, as you said, he was only 35. I mean, it's crazy to think about it. I want to wish you all the very best with the video series, Jason, and getting your life back to a semblance of normality following the loss of your father. And I want to especially wish you all the best from me and my listeners in your quest to honour the life and work of Father Emil Capon, an extraordinary life, an extraordinary legacy. And I've really enjoyed learning more about him and his work, and you and your work. So thank you very much for your time. I should just let my listeners in on a little secret. This is the second time we've conducted this interview because my computer died completely. Just, I can't believe it. So you,
what a gift to talk to you again, though, Dan.
Yeah.
And it's just as good the second time.
Yeah, exactly. And indeed, it's actually a better interview. So look, thank you very much for your time, Jason, and good luck with the work. In the outro, I will give all the details of the video series again. It is absolutely brilliant. If you're looking for insight and a depth of understanding of pilgrimage, I would highly recommend it. And if for no other reason, you want to learn a little bit more about Father Capon and indeed about yourself, because really, that's what pilgrimage is about, isn't it, Jason? Learning more about ourselves and hoping to be a better person.
It is indeed. Thanks for all you do, Dan.
Buen camino.
Buen camino, my friend.
My guest this week, Jason Searle, an American pilgrim from Kansas, and he's a member of what's called Capon's Men. Now, you can find the video series and learn more about the work they do and the life and times of Father Emil Capon at capensmen.com, K-A-P-A-U-N-S-M-E-N, Capon's Men. So Capon is spelled K-A-P-A-U-N, capensmen.com. And if you're a member of what's called formed.org, you can watch the video series for free. formed.org. I thoroughly enjoyed talking to Jason. He's, I think, a kindred spirit, and we had a lot of trouble when my computer died. Absolutely just didn't work anymore. Anyway, I contacted him, and he said, sure, Dan, I'll talk to you. You let me know when and where, and away we went. That website again, capensmen.com. The Polish-born American rabbi and philosopher Abraham Joshua Heschel said, faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart. We're all on a pilgrimage of the heart. We'll get there if we continue to put one foot in front of the other. Moving forward. I'm Dan Mullins, and I'm delighted to be part of your journey. Until next week, buen camino.